This is Comic Picks by the Glick.
Hey, I'm your host, Jason Glick.
Hey, Jason. What do you have on tap for us tonight?
Well, we are going back to that inexhaustible well of content that is Star Wars. And hey, not just the first, like Star Wars event that we've talked about, like for this current era of comics published by Marvel. Well, it's like, this is like a series that, you know, hey, it's like, you know, we've already done, you know, like War of the Bounty Hunters, which, you know, hey, John. John?
Yes.
Yeah. So you remember when we talked about, you know, like War of the Bounty Hunters, which is like, you know, all about Boba Fett's efforts to, like, you know, bring back Han Solo to like Jabba the Hutt and all the complications that he encountered along the way. I mean, it wasn't unreasonable to think that, you know, Boba Fett would have like a lot of trouble bringing back like the world, like the galaxy's most popular, like, you know, wall ornament to Jabba. Like, you know, correct, right?
Right.
Yeah. Because, you know, like, hey, like, you know, this is something that, you know, we assume that was going to happen. That was going to happen. That, you know, he's going to, like, you know, bring, you know, like, Han Solo and Carbonite back to Jabba. And that, you know, it was going to, like, you know, like occur, like, as part of, like, the natural order of Star Wars stuff. As you learn, like, you know, between, like, Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. That being said, John, do you remember that time when, like, all of the droids, like, in the galaxy, you know, succumbed to this, like, you know, like, this plague where, like, they were, subsumed by this one, like, intelligence that was so hungry for information and, like, was determined, like, find a way to, like, you know, absorb all the droids' information and, like, you know, learn how to, like, translate its intelligence from, like, the metal to the meat. Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah. That's kind of the problem we're dealing with here, because, well, I think that, current writer of, like, a Star Wars, Charles Soule, it's, like, someone who's done, like, lots of, like, you know, good work in the Star Wars universe, prior to this era, and, like, also, like, you know, fleshing out the High Republic era, like, of the Star Wars universe. Well, you know, it's like he gave us, like, you know, the War of the Bounty Hunters, and that was fun. That was, like, you know, hey, you know, you tell the story of, like, how Boba Fett finally, like, was able to, like, deliver, like, Han Solo and Carbonite to Jabba out of the complications that occurred. That also involved, like, you know, hey, like, you know, the rebellion, it's like the other bounty hunters, Darth Vader, and most importantly, the Crimson Dawn, like a smuggling consortium. It's like, you know, like delivering all that, you know, like interfering with Fett's efforts to, like, you know, deliver Solo to like Jabba. Like that was fine and understandable. And I think that, you know, like, you know, like, while I appreciate, you know, like, Soule's efforts to, like, flesh that out, like, specifically with the, like follow-up stories, like, you know, like, Hidden Empire and Crimson Dawn, like, storylines. Well, like, now he pushes his luck a bit too far with this Dark Droids, like, storyline. Now, I'm not saying that the premise for this series is bad, really, because basically it does pick up on a lot of stuff that has happened in the comics, you know, like for this particular, like, focus on the timeline on pretty well, because not only do we get, like, you know, follow up on, like, you know, the Spark Eternal storyline from Dr. Aphra, but also just, you know, what happened with the Fermata Cage storyline in Hidden Empire as well. Basically, the Spark Eternal has fused with, like, this evil intelligence from the Fermata Cage, and has basically, like, you know, created a droid intelligence that is, like, so hungry for information. And Dark Droids is basically a storyline that has, like, two main focuses. Basically, like, you know, like, show us what the droids are like when they're just, like, you know, like trying to, like, you know, like, exert their influence over, like, over the humans in this era. It's like, and also just, you know, address the idea that, you know, hey, like, you know, like droids in Star Wars stories are just like, you know, meant to be like subservient. It's like, you know, what happens when they're actually like, you know, the predators in this thing, when they're just, you know, trying to, you know, assert their dominance more than anything else. The main storyline, which is like a 5-issue series written by Soul and illustrated by Luke Ross, is, you know, kind of interesting. Like, in the sense, you know, like, you hope that, you know, you've been like following up on like all the storylines up to this point, like with look at the Spark Eternal storyline that was spearheaded by Alyssa Wong in Dr. Aphra, and also, like, you know, like Soul's work in, like, it's like in like Hidden Empire as well. And, you know, it's like that's nice and all. It's like, and I appreciate the continuity as well, but the thing about Dark Droids is that it splits, like, you know, focus between being like a straight up horror story in the Star Wars universe and also just kind of like a bright, you know like droids fighting for their future type stuff as well, cuz this is a big storyline that, you know, on one hand, it's like, you know, I would have been like, I think it's perfectly self-contained in the tie-ins that I've read. But then when I started exploring, you know, beyond that, you know, I mean, like, when I say beyond that, I mean like the stuff that, you know, is in the Marvel Limited that I don't actually buy in physical format. Like, that's kind of like, oh wow, this is like a bunch of other stuff that I don't think I actually needed to know. But it does it help? Well, Dark Droids, like, you know, like, it's, I appreciate the fact that, you know, like, that Luke Ross, you know, does a good job of, like, you know, like, splitting his focus between, like, you know, like, really dark, like, creepy, like, you know, droid stuff, you know, them, like, absorbing, like, you know, human parts into their, like, droid forms and whatnot. And also, droids, like, you know, just, like, you know, working their own way, like, you know, for the future, such as, like, creatures like Ajax Sigma. Sigma is a new creation for this storyline that is inserted as being, like, you know, initially being a droid revolutionary back in the High Republic era of the series, which is, like, you know, set, like, 100 years before, you know, the prequel trilogy, and also the upcoming Acolyte series, like, on Disney Plus. But basically, it's like, you know, this is like a droid consortium that is basically, like, you know, like, more religious than anything else. Basically, someone, like a droid consortium that is basically, like, you know, acknowledges, like, yeah, we've got our independent thought. It's like, we think for ourselves. And, like, and we believe in the theory of we, because, like, the first revelation is I, individuality. The second revelation, which our church is named after, is we. It's like, you know, like, that we are all working together for ourselves. And then Dark Droids is basically, like, all about what, you know, what comes after that. And interestingly enough, like, you know, like Ajax Sigma, the leader of the church of the second revelation, it's basically someone who realizes that, you know, hey, someone, like, a droid intelligence that is basically working to subsume all other, like, droid intelligences for its own purpose, like, that's a bad thing. And I like that. You know, like, the idea that, you know, hey, the droids, you know, for this purpose are thinking, like, hey, you know, like, we're not, you know, on board with, like, you know, this all-consuming, like intelligence at all. And it's like the main Dark Droid series, like, you know, like, covers a lot of stuff from the main Star Wars series, which involves like Lando, like, trying to do right by his buddy Lobot, from the spin-off series written by Mark Guggenheim, D-Squad, which is all about the R2 Effie's shunted and sent out into space by a possessed C-3PO, who's been possessed by the Scourge, like, the leader of the, uh, like, like the anti-human droid movement. Like he's like, you know, trying to get, you know, like his own crew back together, and just like, or like, you know, like save his friend and save, like, you know, like the droids' representation as they're like understood by the humans. And that involves, like, you know, convincing, like, you know, droid psychopaths like 000 and BT and IG-88 and 4LOM to work with him. And that actually that's fun up to a certain point, when you realize that, you know, hey, you know, oh, you know, like Mark Guggenheim, like, you know, gets the idea that, you know, like 000 is like a droid psychopath, but that's like kind of the only personality trait that he has. So that's all right. I was glad I didn't, you know, pick up the like the D Squad, like, you know, paperback, and I just read it off of Marvel Unlimited. But there you go. But but, you know, the like Dark Droids is all about just, you know, like the main story, you know, between, like, you know, like Ajax Sigma trying to you know, like take on the, like, the threat posed by the droid Scourge, and also just, like, you know, addressing, like, all of the other stuff in the other, like, in other storylines, such as, like, you know, like C-3PO being possessed by his own, you know, like Scourge intelligence, Darth Vader being addressed, being attacked by his by other droids as well. And also, you know, like Lobot, Baylor Valance, and Aphra's girlfriend, what's her name? Aphra's former girlfriend, who I will remember after I finish this podcast. And it's like bad of me. Magna Tolvan. That's it. Yeah. Like, she is, like she's also been, like, you know, subservient as well. And also, you know, hey, I mentioned Baylor Valance, and, like, that's another series that I don't follow as well as I should, because it's not actually that interesting. Like, you know, the Bounty Hunter series. And, like, I read all the, like, issues, like, the Dark Droids tie-ins, like, you know, for that series as well, I headed this podcast, and oh, it turns out that, oh no, Baylert is, like, you know, losing his, like, you know, like his memory, like, ahead of these tie-ins, and then he gets, like, taken over. It's like, and then, oh no, he gets his memory restored by a friend who who restores his memory, like, prior to the events of the War of the Bounty Hunters, which, oh, okay, that's fine. I've not been, like, as interested in this series as Marvel would like me to be, and it's just basically, like, all down to just, you know, Valance being just, like, coming off as, like, a real tryhard more than anything else. Like, I want, like, he was, like, a more fun, comedic, like, you know, Bruce Campbell type character, then, yeah, I probably have more kind words to say about him. But no, Ethan Sachs seems to, like, you know, be content to write him as a very serious guy who is, like, you know, suffering, like, you know, for all his, like, you know, bounty hunter work after all these years, and I really can't be bothered to care about that. So there you go. But as far as the main series goes, Soul has never been, like, a less incompetent writer. And I think that, you know, he does do some interesting stuff here in terms of, like, you know, portraying, like, the main Scourge intelligence as being, like, you know, just like, what am I doing here? It's like, I don't want to hurt any people. But, you know, it's like, I'm still so hungry, as opposed to the dictates that I found in this, like, you know, like this, like this personality that I found myself, like, thrusted into. And that's interesting. But at the same time, though, it's like, it's never boils down to more than just being like, hey, he's a bad droid who is, like, trying to, like, you know, like, make the universe, like, you know, work in the way that he sees things. And that's really like, no, it doesn't work out like to be anything interesting, like, as far as things go. I mean, yeah, the main series, you know, does like show him being properly defeated by Ajax Sigma, and then, you know, maybe being like set up to be used as maybe another villain, like, you know, later down the line, like maybe, like, you know, Soul will come back to him at another point. Maybe another writer will look at it and go, hey, you know, I can do something with this. But as it is, it's just kind of like, hey, you know, this is a thing that happened. And it was all right. That's how the main series is. It's just like, you know, hey, like, don't, like, there was just like, you know, big droid rebellion. And then it was taken care of, and then it went down right down the memory hole. It's like to the point where, like, no one talks about it, you know, in, you know, like, you know, post, you know, Return of the Jedi stuff. I mean, did you hear, you know, anyone talk about this in Return of the Jedi?
Nope.
Yeah. You're right, John. I mean, this is all, like, you know, Armand Tamsarian business right here. We're all down the memory hole here. Yeah. Steve. But I will give Soul credit, because I do think the tie-in stuff is better than the main storyline here as well. Specifically the stuff that Soul actually did write for Star Wars and tie-in issues, which basically involve a lot of stuff about Lando Calrissian and all the shifty stuff he's done up to this point, because in his original, like, Lando miniseries, where we learned about how he tried to like hijack Emperor Palpatine's yacht and wound up getting almost lobotomized in the process. Well, that's also followed up on in his Star Wars series, and also specifically in this series as well, when Lobot's his mental degradation comes up even more, like, in these five issues as well, when he finds out that, you know, oh, like, Lobot's getting worse and I've got to find a way to save him. And this involves him, like, you know, going back to rescue the droid that was set up as the basis for the rebellion's new security code that he sold to Jabba in order to get out from his debt. And now he's got to, like, you know, get this droid to contribute to work with him, to, like, hey, I know I sold you up, but you've got to help me save my buddy. And because, like, he means more to me than anything else, because he's a total bro and all. And the robot is like, no, because if I can't help you, because if I do that, you're just going to go ahead and kill me afterwards in order to cover your tracks, right? That's like interesting tension that but Soul, like, brings up over the course of this. And then, you know, because, like, the bits when he, like, basically asks, like, you know, Chewbacca, hey, you know, I know you're going to think this is sketchy, but, you know, like, here's, like, the droid I brought back. And, like, Chewbacca's like, it's like, yeah, it's like, it's really awkward. It's really shifty. And on one hand, it's consistent with, like, how Soul is portrayed, Calrissian over the course of the series. Someone who is just like, you know, hey, I'm in this, like, you know, for the fun of the game and all, but, you know, it's like I still want to help out my friends and all. Like, he is the gambler, but but even though he wants to have, like, you know, like, fun, and, like, you know, like, prove that he's the smartest guy in the room, he's not about to do that in, like, at the expense of his friends. And that's, like, the tension on which this particular arc runs. And it's really good. It's like, you get understanding about just, you know, how far Calrissian is willing to go. And it plays off really well with what Soul's, like, set up with the character over this like over his run in Star Wars as well. This is to the point where we're told at the very end of the series that, you know, Calrissian is like, you know, he's willing to go on trial for what he has done, like to save his buddy Lobot. But wait, we've got another, like, you know, like Luke Skywalker story in order to do that, to the point where it's like, oh, like the trial of Lando Calrissian is going to go over two separate volumes. And I hear that, I'm like, God damn it. No, I want to get all of, like, you know, the trial of Lando Calrissian in one volume, because it's like a really good story that I want to follow up on. But, you know, that's not what we're getting. But the Star Wars volume of Dark Droids is easily one of the best volumes of Souls Run. And it featured some great art by Moneybek Musabekov, who, you know, I'll admit that, you know, like Star Wars, like the Marvel has just like let Star Wars just, you know, not being illustrated by its A-list like creators, like after the initial run. But Mudabeskov has been doing some really good work on Star Wars. Just really good in terms of detail and in terms of storytelling. And the Dark Droids run, which is like 5 issues of him going at it totally, is really good. Not on the same level, but also still like pretty solid, is the Darth Vader run by regular writer Greg Pak and regular artist Rafael Ienko. Now, the previous storyline did a good job of setting up this run, as it involved, like, you know, Vader getting a small droid army at his beck and call. But it doesn't quite follow up on the same level, in the sense that, you know, Vader's got this droid army, and like, now is it going to be consumed by the droid scourge? And not really. Well, it's basically all about, you know, it's another volume of Vader just, you know, finding his own strengths, and reasserting his control over the Force after the Ferrata Cage business and the previous zombies and in Hidden Empire. And it's interesting to see him, take the fight to Emperor Palpatine, but, you know, it doesn't actually work. You know, he's still subservient to Palpatine. And even though, like, you know, Greg Pak does find some, like, you know, good fun stuff in terms of, like, you know, like Vader just, you know, like asserting a dominance over, like, the droids that are under his his control. It's like, well, like, the ultimate question is, like, you know, is he able to, like, to assert his control over the over the scourge after he isolates its command? No, it's not. But at the very end, like, he's able to, like, you know, assume, like, assert his, like, you know, control of the Force, like, saying that, you know, he is Vader again. You know, I am, like, you know, my own control over, like, the dark side of the Force. And that's arguably of interest for the next storyline of the series, which involves him being recruited by the Schism Imperial, apparently a splinter group of, like, Imperial, like, villains, like, from previous arcs in the series, who are trying to assert their own control over the Empire. But will it work? We're living in a world where Return of the Jedi exists, and Vader is, like, you know, still in control, and the Emperor is still in control. So maybe it's I'm thinking that, you know, like, Vader's still gonna be, you know, like, assert his dominance over the splinter faction, like, and also just, you know, like, say that, you know, hey, you're all my bitches until the next part of the storyline. There you go. But it's all right. Now, Vader's Dark Droid storyline, it's not, like, it doesn't give me, like, the confidence that the final two volumes of Puck's run, because I really feel that, you know, that they're going to, like, that Marvel is sending a big wrap up for all of its post Empire Strikes Back, pre Return of the Jedi storyline on comics. It's gonna be hitting reaching a climax at issue 50 for these storylines, specifically Darth Vader and Star Wars. But it's we'll see how that goes. It's like, but you know, like Puck's work here is fine, and I don't think it's like it's not as it's interesting to see like where he's going to go with this. Because, you know, Darth Vader has been like the most inconsistent yet interesting, like, you know, run like of comics, you know, like for this particular era. Also of note for this is Dr. Aphra. Like Star Wars' answer to Star Wars' more questionable answer to like Indiana Jones, which delivered a really good run in terms of its, you know, Spark Eternal storyline that I wound up on my best of comics list last year. And I really enjoyed what Alyssa Wong was doing there. Like, basically in terms of, like, you know, like, setting up, like, Aphra, like, you know, at, like, as being, like, you know, at the mercy of a, pre-republic, Sith sympathetic intelligence, and even though I wasn't like immediately won over by this 3-volume arc, I eventually was, and I liked the idea that, you know, she was eventually like, you know, like left the end as being someone who was, you know, just like at the mercy of, like, you know, hey, you know, she. Like, she realized that she loved her, like, her two Mangle then, it's like, and Sanastaros, but just, you know, was not able to, like, you know, convince them that, you know, like, they were going to, like, you know, be, you know, like, worthy of her, or just, you know, like, worthy of pursuing. So, that's why we get the final volume of Dr. Aphra, Dark Droids. And like she in the first three issues are all about her like trying to convince Luke Skywalker that, hey, I've got a big Jedi score planned for me that will help you take out like Darth Vader. It's like, and I just need you to help me, like, you know, figure this out. Surprise, surprise, you know, because like this is like a post Hidden Empire storyline, Luke is still struggling with his control over the Force, and Aphra's like, what? Why are you? It's like, you know, why are you, like, you know, not in control of the Force? Like, and this is bad because there's a big Jedi bell that's keeping a big weird Star Wars creature called Star Weird at bay that Aphra wants to get control of, but she can't because, you know. Well, like, Luke has to get control of the Force first. This three issue storyline is it's perfectly fine, like, in terms of just, you know, like, showing just, you know, like, Aphra and Luke just, you know, butting heads about, you know, who's got the right of way here. But the real meat of the story is in the final storyline, which involves Aphra having to suss out the particulars of the droid scourge like event for her boss Dominatage. And, you know, like, we're basically meant to, like, sense this is a big deal because, you know, Tage, you know, like, basically, like, you know, sleep with Aphra beforehand, and, like, you know, like, hey, it's like, you know, like, Aphra's just, like, positioned as a hey, you know, like, what am I gonna do now? It's like, in the sense that, you know, I got no significant others. I've got no people to, like, to prove myself to. Well, it's like until Magnet Holvan is taken over by the droid Scourge, and she's got to, and she realizes that, hey, you know, maybe I do have to, like, you know, like, show that I'm the better person in order to, like, you know, save, like, someone who I've loved like over the course of the series. So, like Star Wars tie-in arcs, Aphra's arc of Dark Droids is all about, you know, just addressing her own personal growth, like over the course of the series, and I think it does that pretty well, to the point where while the final issue is basically suggests that, you know, that Aphra, Sanastaros, and Magnet Holven kind of become a throuple. Well, you know, I'm cool with that. That's fine. It's like, I think that kind of works for them. I hope, you know, then we pursue that, you know, storyline, like, you know, further for subsequent storylines. But that seems like, you know, really progressive and forward thinking in a way that I don't think that Marvel is really, you know, like, equipped to deal with. So we'll see how that goes. But I think that this final arc of Aphra for Dark Droids is a worthy follow up for the series, and the hints that Wong leaves for the future storylines of Dr. Aphra involving a unscrupulous bounty hunter, are pretty solid. Like, they're fun. It's like, I want to see, you know, what's going on next, even if it, you know, we're just gonna, it's gonna require another jump forward in the Star Wars timeline to after Return of the Jedi. But I guess, you know, that's a interesting way to leave this series as well. Like, you know, does Dark Droids, you know, make for a you know, like proper final storyline for the post Empire Strikes Back, pre Return of the Jedi era? Nah, not really. Like, I think that, you know, like, the fact that, you know, this is a story that goes, like, right out the memory hole, that you can't, like, show the same level of disbelief that you could for, say, War of the Bounty Hunters. That really works against it, like overall. It's like, but that being said, if you were just, like, you know, following Star Wars, like, proper and Dr. Aphra, then yeah, like, I think that the tie-ins actually do a good job of advancing the various storylines, like, for this series, and that's not nothing right there. So go ahead and follow those tie-in issues. But I don't know, it's like, I guess if you're like, go ahead and follow the main event series if you're a Star Wars event completist, more than anything else, because I will say, you know, like, the Star Wars Dark Droids, it's got a lot of good ideas, but all the best ideas are in the tie-in issues, and arguably not in the main series. So, you know, respect Charles Soule for trying to, like, you know, do something different here, but you didn't get past my suspension of disbelief for this kind of thing. I don't know. Did you get past your suspension of disbelief, John?
Well, you know, I would just say, do you recommend this? I mean, what was the question you were asking me again?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you don't need to read this, but I will say, you know, if you're already invested in Star Wars and Dr. Aphra and Darth Vader, then yeah, go ahead and keep reading those tie-in issues. But I don't know, I guess you don't necessarily need to read this, the main event series, really.
So you could say skip it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else on this one?
I don't know. It's like, I mean, it's like, I'm interested in seeing, like, you know, what Marvel does next for this, because it really does feel like, you know, we're building to a climax where issue 50 of Star Wars and Darth Vader are going to be, like, the final, like, you know, like, issues of this volume, and maybe of this particular era. Like, you know, we could be doing, like, you know, like, it headed towards reboot, where it's like, you know, we're dealing with the post Return of the Jedi era. But that's all speculation at this point. But even that being said, keep reading Star Wars, because I think that, you know, what's like this most recent volume is really good. And while Darth Vader has been really inconsistent, it's also been like, you know, deliver some of that good stuff over this, over the course of this run. I want to see, like, you know, what Pack has in store for its 50th issue, if that's going to be its final volume.
So that, right. Awesome. Do you know what you're going to be talking about next time?
Well, if everything goes right, I may be talking about. I was thinking about talking about Kaguya-sama for this podcast, but that didn't turn out as planned. But I may be talking about, you know, like Kaguya-sama Loves War, and I may be talking about, you know, the best of it, and, you know, Steve may be coming back to talk with us about that for this next podcast. Cross your fingers for that, because I always appreciate what he's got to say.
All right, sounds good. We'll catch you next time on Comic Picks by the Glick.
All right, laters.